Welcome to episode 251 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the book of Philippians, the 41st book in our series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks, and the 6th epistle written by the Apostle Paul that we will study. Philippians 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The remains of the city of Philippi can be found at the foot of an acropolis in northeastern Greece. It was here, on his second missionary journey in around AD 50 or 51, that the Apostle Paul established the first Christian church in Europe. The initial converts of the church were Gentiles, and the congregation developed into a predominantly Gentile fellowship. Women also played an essential role in the life of the church at Philippi. The city of Philippi was located in ancient Greece on the eastern border of the Roman province of Macedonia, about 10 miles inland from the coast, directly northwest of its nearest port city, Neapolis. A strategic area in ancient times, Philippi sat on a fertile plain through which passed the Via Egnatia, the Egnatian Way, a trade highway that linked the Aegean and Adriatic seas, connecting Europe to Asia. Many travelers passed through Philippi on their way to Rome. Originally founded by immigrants from Thrace, the city of Philippi was famous for its abundant gold mines and plenteous springs of water. From these springs, the town received its original name, Crenides, meaning fountains or springs. Later, around 359 BC, the city was renamed Philippi after Philip of Macedonia, father of Alexander the Great. Under Alexander, the city rose to become the capital of the Greek Empire. By New Testament times, the city had come under Roman rule with a diverse population of native Thracians, Greeks, and Romans. A famous school of medicine existed in Philippi, where the gospel writer Luke may have studied. Extensive archaeological and historical research has been done at Philippi, uncovering ruins that include the Forum, Agora, streets, gymnasium, baths, library, and acropolis. Also, the site contains what may be a 400 BC temple of Apollo and Artemis, along with numerous inscriptions and coins. While in Troas, on his second missionary journey, Paul was called by God in a vision to go to Macedonia. Acts 16, verses 8 to 10. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul traveled to Philippi, accompanied by Silas, Timothy, and Luke. Paul's custom was to go to the synagogue whenever he first arrived in a new city. But in Philippi, apparently, there was no synagogue, and he went to the river where he knew that Jews would be worshiping. There Paul met Lydia, a Gentile who became the first Christian convert in Europe. Acts 16, verses 14 to 15. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Lydia's conversion, was the first of three significant events associated with the beginning of the church in Philippi. The second was the exorcism of demons from a slave girl, which resulted in Paul and Silas being thrown into prison. The third important event was the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his family. Paul visited the church at Philippi again on his third missionary journey, and the believers there gave generously to support Paul's ministry, as well as the church in Jerusalem. While Paul was imprisoned in Rome, the church at Philippi sent Epaphroditus to minister to him. In return, Paul sent Timothy to the congregation at Philippi. We see in the story of the birth of the church at Philippi lessons to us regarding divine guidance. It was God who divinely directed Paul and Silas and the other members of their evangelistic team to Philippi. It was God who directed Paul to the riverside where Lydia and others gathered. It was God who directed Paul to the Philippian jailer who may have inspired the songs that Paul and Silas sang on that night that convicted the hearts of those who were listening. God directed these men in a variety of ways. He directed through a disagreement with Barnabas, which preceded the establishment of this church. He directed through Paul's desire to revisit churches that had been planted earlier in his ministry. He directed through the vision that Paul was given in Troas. He even directed through the evil actions of a slave girl's owners and the injustice of the magistrates who threw the two of them, Paul and Silas, into jail. God saw to it that there was a church planted in Philippi. Paul cites the church at Philippi as a model for others to follow. The Philippian church was used by Paul as an example of generosity so as to stimulate the Corinthians to follow through with their commitment to give to the needy saints in Judea. Paul indicates in this letter that the Philippians were the only ones to stand behind him financially in his time of need. Philippians 1 gives us insight into the makeup, mission, and motivation of a true church. In verse 1, Paul describes himself as a servant. Other versions use the terms bondservant or slave. A true church is composed of and is especially led by humble people. Verse 2 says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace come only from the Father and only through Christ. When you surrender to Christ, when you accept his gift on your behalf, you are no longer at war with him. You are at peace. The motivation of a Christian in a true church should be to hear from and submit to the word of God because Christ bought us with his blood for that purpose. In verse 5, Paul thanks the church for their partnership in the gospel. The contemporary English version says in verses 4 to 5, "And whenever I mention you in my prayers, it makes me happy. This is because you have taken part with me in spreading the good news from the first day you heard about it." This is the mission of the true church, doing whatever it can to advance the work of the gospel. From the time it was established, the church at Philippi was healthy, strong, and generous, becoming a model church that only experienced minor problems of disunity. After the apostolic age, the early church father Ignatius traveled through Philippi, and Polycarp, the Christian bishop of Smyrna who died a martyr, wrote a famous letter to the church there. Later, Tertullian, a prolific early Christian author from Carthage, mentioned the church of Philippi along with the churches of Corinth, Rome, and Ephesus as paragons. Father, thank you for the example of the church at Philippi. Help us to be as generous and committed as those church members were. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.